so one of the problems that God deals with in our lives is the problem of fear, because fear can keep us from moving forward with the plan of God.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth, the teaching ministry of Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. Open your Bible now and follow along as we explore the Word of God verse by verse.
Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1? Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 9 this morning. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I have given to them, the children of Israel. Every place that you set the sole of your foot, where it will tread, I will give to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The title of this message is Fighting the Battle of Fear. I read in one medical journal that fear is the most destructive influence in the mind. That may be why the most often repeated command that Jesus gave pertained to overcoming fear. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not be troubled. Be of good courage. Can you imagine how useless the disciples would have been if they had succumbed to fear? Actually, one of them did give in to fear. It set him back temporarily, at least, and you know the story of Peter. And I believe that Satan uses fear as much as any other emotion to immobilize the believer. And that is why the Bible has so much to say about fear and courage. Well, this morning we're going to look at a man who I believe struggled with fear. His name, Joshua, one of the great heroes of the Old Testament. In fact, many of our Old Testament heroes were men who battled the problem of fear. And sometimes it was fear that drove them to make poor decisions. Out of fear, Abraham lied about his beautiful wife, Sarah. And when David was running from Absalom, you remember that he ran to the Philistines in fear and he pretended to be a lunatic. Jonah was controlled by fear and refused to go to Nineveh. And that is the problem with fear. It can lead you to make decisions that are against the will of God. And I would like to just take a story here, this first chapter of Joshua, and show you how God will help you to fight and win the battle over fear. Think with me just for a moment of all the men and some of the women in the Bible who followed the plan of God into fearful circumstances. David went up against Goliath, Gideon, 300 against 135,000, Elijah, showdown with the prophets of Baal. And we could go on and on and on about men and women in the Bible who faced challenges that would have struggled or strangled the average person with fear. Joshua faced just such a challenge. And I believe many of the works that God has for us are going to challenge us. One of the brothers and I were just texting last night, and he was telling me, he said, be sure and don't use any big words in the message tomorrow. And I knew what he was getting at. You know how I am. I can butcher a big word probably about as fast as anyone. And so I was thinking about that, though, and I was remembering that I remember a time when it wasn't just big words. I remember when it was a time when it was just words. Getting up in front of people and speaking, it was like that was my greatest fear, to think about getting up in front of even five people and sharing. And I mean, I would sweat and I would tremble, and my wife can tell you, you know, I would go and I would sit and I would feel sick to my stomach, and it was just such a thing to get up in front of people. And so often fear, it's like it'll paralyze us, and it keeps us from doing what God would otherwise have us to do. And that's how fear is. And so one of the problems that God deals with in our lives is the problem of fear, because fear can keep us from moving forward with the plan of God. Specifically, God had chosen Joshua to be the man that would lead the children of Israel following the death of Moses. Joshua had grown up in Egypt, and he was just a young man when God sent Moses back to Egypt to free his people after 400 years of captivity. He had witnessed the many struggles that Moses endured as the nation's first great leader. Aside from the supernatural empowerment to do the job, leading the children of Israel would be an impossible task for one man. And the job required great faith and complete reliance upon God. And as we will discover, that is really the theme of Joshua chapter 1. It's a reliance upon God. And that is the key to following the plan of God without fear, is that I must rely completely upon God. Has God ever asked you to do something that would be practically impossible? What is your first reaction? Well, it's usually fear, isn't it? God, I can't do it. God, I'm not qualified. God, I'm not able. God, please, would you ask somebody else to do that job? Have any of you ever been there? Now, that's what fear does to you. Can fear be overcome? Well, yes, it can. And not only that, we are commanded to overcome fear. Fear is one of those emotions. Listen, if you don't overcome fear, fear will overcome you. And Joshua was a man who had to overcome fear. And let's look together. I want to look at four realities that are true for every circumstance. Four realities. Now, I'm not talking about generalities. I'm not talking about possibilities. But there are four specific realities that I would like for you to see in this passage this morning. The events of the Old Testament, they're recorded for a purpose. And one of the reasons that the history of the nation of Israel has been so faithfully preserved is so that every child of God throughout every generation can have great hope in the faithfulness of God. You see, this is not just Joshua's God, but he is our God, and he is just as much here for you as he was for his servant Joshua. So let's look together at the four realities of difficult circumstances. Reality number one: we need to remember God's presence. That just means God is with you. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now, what I want to ask you this morning is, who is doing the speaking? Who's doing the speaking here? It's God. God is speaking. Joshua is not speaking. An angel is not speaking. God is so present in the circumstance that God is personally speaking to Joshua. Now, you might argue, and you are, you know, you might say, well, you know, I don't get clear instruction from God like that. I mean, I don't audibly hear the voice of God. And I do have to wonder sometimes when I read accounts like this, I think, how is it that God actually spoke to Joshua? I mean, did Joshua audibly hear a voice? Was it something that he felt inside? What was it? How did God really communicate? And have you ever wondered about that? What was God doing? You know, I'll fess up and I'll admit to you that I think Siri has improved in her ability to give directions. But sometimes I do wish that there was like a God app. You know, have you ever wished that, you know, just that you could just press this button on the phone and, you know, you hear the voice of God, what would you like? You know, God, I need this. God, I need this. And it's like we want to hear this audible voice of God, kind of like what when we're listening to Siri. So I wonder how it was that God spoke to Joshua. But I do know that God is just as present with you and I as he was with Joshua. One thing you and I have, actually it's two, we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God. The Bible assures us that the moment that we believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and he lives with us, he lives in us. And the Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit?" That means that we have God. Not just coming to see us in our trouble, but he is with us. He is constantly with us. In fact, he never leaves us. And I believe that God would speak to us more often if we were just, I believe our problem is we're not usually willing to listen. We're listening to other things. We're listening to other voices. We're involved in other activities. And we never just step back and say, "God, would you speak to me about this? I'd like to hear from you." And sometimes I believe God is even allowing something just to get our attention. It's like he's tapping us on the shoulder and he's saying, "Hey, listen, you remember me? I'm here." Because how easily we can forget about the presence of God until we really need him. And we need to remember God's presence. Psalm 46, verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength. And what does it say next? It says a very present help in trouble. Therefore, what? We will not fear, because we have the very presence of God with us in every circumstance. Now, in the past, this had been a weak area for the children of Israel. They failed to consider the presence of God, and listen, it cost them dearly. Let's rewind the scene about 40 years. The people are encamped around the land of Canaan. They're ready to cross over. They're ready to take the land. God had promised this land to the children of Israel, and now it was time to possess the land. God commands Moses to send out spies into Canaan. For 40 days, these spies are checking out the land. The spies come back. They report to Moses. "Moses, we have some good news, and we have some bad news." Well, of course, like the rest of us, Moses wants to hear the good news first. Well, the good news is that the land of Canaan is an agricultural phenomenon. "You should see the fruit, Moses. Clusters of grapes so large that it takes two men to carry. The land is flowing with milk and honey." Now, you and I, we may not appreciate that, but consider what great news that is. I mean, can you imagine how good that must have sounded after traveling through the wilderness? Now, imagine if it was you. Imagine if you've been stuck in Death Valley for 40, what, odd years. And suddenly, as you're crawling through the sand, you're crawling through the sand, and you're crawling through the sand, and you're saying, "Water, water." You know how it is in Death Valley, water. And suddenly you bump your head on this big pole, and you look up and you realize it's a sign. And you look up and you see that there's three letters on that sign, H-E-B. H-E-B. And you look at that sign and you say, "H-E-B." But then you turn away. You turn away from the source of food and provision that God has given to you. Then you see, really, essentially, that's how it was there for the Israelites. They'd been wandering in a wilderness. It was the equivalent of our Death Valley. And suddenly God takes them to this land and the spies come back and they say, "Well, you'll never believe it. It's a land filled with milk and honey. It's a beautiful land, fruit abounding." That's the good news. Well, then what's the bad news? Well, the land is occupied by the descendants of Anak. Anak. Now, the name Anak would send cold chills down the spine of the children of Israel. The word Anak means long neck. It means giant. Anak was the father of a race of giants called the Anakin. And they were the terror of the land. And the people were struck with terror, and they refused to go into the land. Now, this is an illustration of the problem. God had given the land to the Israelites. They only had to cross over the Jordan and take the land. But as they considered the obstacles, the emotion of fear took over. They complained against Moses and Aaron. They were so angry that they rose up to stone Moses and Aaron. And you can read about that in Numbers chapter 13. But now there were two men out of this group who refused to be dismayed by the news, and they said, hey, listen, we can go in, we can take the land. If God delights in us, then we can take the land. And who were these two men? Well, one was Caleb, and the other was the man in this story, Joshua. Joshua. Caleb and Joshua understood that God was with them. And in the days of Moses, it tells us that God became so angry with the people that he sent them into the wilderness to wander around until that generation died off and their children would inherit the land. Do you know why God was angry? What upset God? He was angry because his children succumbed to fear. They caved in and they had no faith. And when we respond to life circumstances out of fear, it just means that we really don't believe God. We're not trusting. And you know, there is a difference between believing in God and believing God is personally with you. Most people believe in God, but believing in God, believing that God is with you is different. To believe God is present, it means that, you know, I'm going to take God at his word. I'm going to trust God. I know he's with me. And if he's with me, you know, as Paul said, who can be against me if God be for me? Now, 40 years later, there at the banks of the Jordan, ready to cross over into the land that God had promised, same land, same cities, same people, same Anakins. And Joshua was under no illusion. He knew that they were up against a mighty people. And though he knew that God had given Israel the land of Canaan, it would take a giant step of faith to follow through. And I would ask you this morning, there are some of you here, I just want to ask you, are you experiencing fear about something in your life? Is there fear? Is there that emotion that has come upon you and you feel afraid? I believe there are many things that scare us today. We look at what's happening in the world and it seems like there are reasons to fear. We look at what's going on in our personal life and sometimes there are reasons to fear. The question is this, is God with you? Will God speak to you? Will God direct you? Will God show you what to do? Well, what is the first reality? God is present. God is present in your circumstances. Whatever it is you're going through now, God is with you. And the second reality that you need to remember, God makes promises. Look with me at verse 3. In every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. In this case, God has promised to give. Now, you know, I personally am usually very skeptical about giveaways. Are you skeptical about giveaways? Usually, maybe always, there are some strings attached, and be careful when you read the word free, because usually it's not. In fact, I read one from supposedly from Delta Airlines. And it said, celebrating 100 million customers already this year, we're giving you the chance to win one of 175 gift bags. Each one contains $5,000 in cash, 5 first-class tickets to be used till 2015, and some Delta goodies. Is there any one of you who took advantage of this offer? Well, actually, it was on Facebook. And it said, it ends July 2nd. Winners will be messaged. Good luck. Now, this was on a Facebook page, and they said that, you know, if you want to double your chances to win, all you have to do is like the page or make a comment, and you double your chances. The problem? It was a fake. Delta responded. They said, well, we are aware of this item, but it is not an official Delta site. Can you imagine how many people fell for this fake giveaway? Do you know how many people fall for fake giveaways every single day? Verse 3 is God's promise to Joshua. God is promising to give. And when God gives, there are no hidden strings. You don't have to post a comment. And it's not because you like God. God gives because God loves you. And that's why he gives to you. And listen, that's not hard to figure out. The most well-known promises in the New Testament, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. Because he loves you, God gives to you. And essentially, God is reassuring Joshua that the same promises that he made to Moses, he was making to Joshua. Now, Moses failed to trust completely in the promises of God. Here, Joshua, God is assuring Joshua that God will give according to all of his promises. Now, this wasn't the only promise to Joshua and Moses. God had promised Abraham hundreds of years earlier, way back in Genesis chapter 12. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants, I will give this land." And the promise had been carried forward by Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. And now God is again reminding Joshua of the promise, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you, just as I said to Moses." Deuteronomy 7:9, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations and those who love him and keep his commandments." This verse just means that God is faithful. He's going to keep his word. If you're a child of God, and if you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you are saying that Jesus is Lord, then you can depend upon every single promise that God has made in his word concerning you. I want to share with you a little story. It's in Bunyan's great allegory, Pilgrim's Progress. Some of you have read that. And the incident is related how Christian decides to leave the main highway and follow another path, which seemed easier. But this path leads him into the territory of Giant Despair, who owns Doubting Castle. Well, eventually, he is captured by Giant Despair, and he's kept in a dungeon. He's advised to kill himself, and the giant said there was no use trying to keep on with his journey. And for the time, it seemed that as if despair had really conquered Christian. But then hope, Christian's companion, reminded him of previous victories. So it came about that on Saturday, about midnight, they began to pray, and they continued in prayer until almost morning. Now, a little before it was day, good Christian, as one half amazed, broke out in passionate speech. And he said, "What a fool am I thus to lie in a stinking dungeon when I may as well be at liberty? I have a key in my bosom called promise that will, I am persuaded, open any lock in Doubting Castle." And then said hopeful, "Well, that's good news. Good brother, pluck it out of thy bosom and try." And the prison gates flew open. You know, when your circumstances are extreme, when you are experiencing fear, you go to the Word of God, go to the promises of God, and make them yours. God has made promises, great keys to open the doors of the dungeon of fear, the promises of God. There is a third reality, and we need to remember the third reality, God's power. Verse 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." In this passage, God is telling Joshua that because of God's power, he, Joshua, is invincible. And I love this. "No man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life." You know, so often as a father to my own children, I just can relate to God as Father. And some of you fathers, you know what it's like. It's like because you have children, you think of the way you treat your children, and you think, you know, God is Father, and he treats me as such. Yesterday, Sarah came into the room while I was working on the message, and she had a toy with her. And it was a little pet shop toy. And I guess that's the latest craze these days.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. That's calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.